You're listening to the Star Wars Report, Episode 20. Ah, fan sites. We be crazy! Sometimes I feel like our intro it's reminiscent of the Star Wars main theme, but it doesn't sound quite enough like it. But if you listen closely here, because they kind of change it up. By the way, folks, you're listening to the Star Wars Report live on Middle Earth Network Radio, starting off a couple minutes late, unfortunately. But I'm one of the trifecta of hosts. I'm Riley. Excited to be with you guys tonight, but I won't lie, I'm a little frustrated right now because of all the audio technical difficulties that you probably were wondering, why aren't they starting the show at 8 o'clock like they're supposed to? Well, that's why, ladies and gentlemen, because we're not perfect, and audio equipment in the 21st century is not perfect, so here we are. But let me go ahead and welcome in our two other hosts, Bethany, my sister, welcome in studio here in Tennessee.
Greetings and welcome, everyone. Glad to be here, as usual.
And let me just say this. Here, we got here 30 or 40 minutes, and by here, I mean at our residence in Tennessee. We're usually hanging out in the Atlanta area, so it's where most of our life duties keep us. But we do occasionally, especially on weekends, we're up here in Tennessee at our former permanent place of residence up in Dayton, North Chattanooga. So it's a beautiful drive. It was raining today, but it's one. We got here 40 minutes beforehand. I'm thinking yes, because I thought we may just get here 15 minutes before going on air, and I thought, well, yes, we've got plenty of time. Sure we do. When I realized that all the audio is not working, so that's enough of my tirade. I'm glad that it's somehow working out and that we are live on radio. And smiling through with the Skype video, I couldn't forget to introduce. I say this way too much, but he's our third wheel. But really, that doesn't do you justice, Mark, because you're – well, it kind of does, because you kind of are the destabilizing factor. So we're three wheels instead of – four wheels. So
but
our third
see,
wheel, but
that makes everything more interesting.
And Whistler is the fourth wheel. But welcome, Mark. Thank you so much for being here tonight.
Yeah. As Whistler is pointing out, you know, everybody's got to have an astromech in the back, you know, to complete the team.
Yeah.
Right. Indeed.
Hey, everybody. You know, I had a great Halloween weekend. I don't know about the rest of you guys.
I want to ask you about that. Yeah.
But I've got no voice because of it. Cub Scouts. We did a big undead inn, very huge, successful fundraiser. By Halloween night, we had a line around two blocks that went all the way till 38 minutes after we'd closed down. So my voice has taken the toll. Mm. So if it's hard to hear me, that's why. I'll try to shout. This is actually me shouting, not talking. So,
shout.
So yeah, that's what's wrong with me. If you're wondering, what is wrong with that guy? That's it.
That crazy right guy too from much Oregon.
At people, and that really takes a toll.
Yeah, definitely. Well, that's what caused you your charitable efforts adding to your community in the form of the Undead Inn.
You should see the pictures I posted on Facebook of the bruises I got from all the fathers that went through. I'd stick my hand through a wall, and they would just flip out and start smacking at my hands. I mean, I got some gnarly black and purple ones all the way up my arm.
Taking one for community service. I like it.
That's right.
And that's what kept you from our debut live show last week, but I understand it was a greater calling, the call of the dead, so to speak.
Definitely, the call of the dead. Ooh, I like that. That needs to be a movie. Movie.
I think it's
call
a game.
Call of the Dead. Is it a game?
Yes, I think it's like an attachment to.
I think it's like a Call of Duty level, I believe.
Yeah, something like that. I wouldn't know. I don't play.
Well, it would still make
games.
A good movie.
Yes, it would.
It would.
Yeah, so there you have it. That's kind of what we've been up to lately, and I'm glad that you're with us once again Thursday nights, 8 p.m., Middle Earth Network Radio. Go to miamiradio.us for you podcast listeners, and thank you to those of you tuning in live right now as we record. So let's go ahead and let me find my show notes here. Oh, and turn the stupid Skype notifications off.
Epic fail.
It's not a Star Wars Report podcast episode unless you have that one inaugural bloop before I forget to turn it off.
Well, the first story we've got is Sam Witwer is Darth Maul. Maybe not. Is he?
What?
Well, what? Yeah. What? What? Who?
Exactly. Yeah. We talked about this last week, actually. And now I have the show notes up, so I feel somewhat prepared.
Aha.
So
we talked about this a few times, even.
We did. And I even had... We were on We Talk Clones this past episode. As we record it live, it hasn't been released yet, but it'll be out very soon. And we talked about this because Sam Witwer, of course, there's been all kinds of various levels of rumors about him and the type of role he'll play in the Clone Wars. Because we know he's returning based on, well, yours truly, our interview. The Star Wars Report interviewed Sam Witwer back at Dragon Con, and it didn't really pick up press because we're a small podcast and nobody's ever heard of us. But I would like to just completely selfishly point out that we were the first to release this in any kind of official internet fashion.
Well, actually, I think Knights Archive did a little bit of a hint
yes,
of one.
Credit but where he credit said, is due, yes.
He said Sam Witwer to be back. We didn't know who, though, back then. And we still don't officially know.
And that was his... Yeah, and there were some blogs. I believe it was Knights Archive, or maybe it was...
I'm pretty sure
Radling.
It was Knights Archive.
Okay, Knights Archive. Okay. But, yeah, we... So there have been rumblings of his return, but we got it straight from the Sith Lord's mouth. It is Sam Witwer. He's returning to the Clone Wars. This season or next season? Well, if it's Darth Maul, it's obviously this season. Darth Maul is returning to the Clone Wars animated series this spring. I'm really excited about this, guys, by the way. I think it'll be awesome.
Yes.
But, yeah, so the Force.net picked this up. They had one of their readers submit this. And I know we're kind of recovering a little bit of territory, but I really think this warrants a little bit more coverage. Because this is kind of how things work in the Star Wars fan community. But yeah, the Force.net picked up this story about 2 weeks after our interview with him was live. We had both an audio version and a text version of the transcribed interview. I believe that's courtesy of Aaron, our staff member, Aaron Goins.
Yes.
So thank you, Aaron. And here we go. So the saga continues. Then the Force.net, Mike Barrick over there was nice enough to actually put an excerpt of our interview as further proof of the fact of him returning. Now, of course, everybody's speculating Maul because it just makes sense. All this press that was going around and all this excitement, hey, is he Maul? Is he Maul? Sam Witwer told what's-his-face at his own fan site. I have no idea what the guy's name was. But Sam Witwer sent a brief note to his fan site, who's also running all these stories, saying, I don't think it's really this season, and it's not necessarily Maul, and I can't really confirm or deny, and dancing around. And the typical thing. It's the nature of the business. He's not the one supposed to announce this stuff.
Did you almost say the nature of the beast?
I know. I was that close. The nature of the beat business. So the saga continues. Comic book movie. Linked to another article. This is just how it goes, by the way. Where they link to so-and-so who links to so-and-so who links to so-and-so, and then the big sites start picking it up, and then it just gets confusing as to where it originated at StarWarsReport.com. Shh, don't tell me. Anyway, Sam Witwer, comicbookmovie.com, pretty big fan site, says Sam Witwer to voice Darth Maul in Star Wars The Clone Wars. Comic book movie's source was a site called NukeTheFridge.com. Now, let me... I've got the article up. I'm trying to see. Yeah, Nuke the Fridge. Da, 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 da. Yeah, that's... Their source is Nuke the Fridge. Nuke the Fridge, which I think is a hilarious name, by the way, based on the most recent Indiana Jones movie. Nuke the Fridge just said that they had their own... Mark, you just got it, Mark, didn't you? You just—it's like Jump the Shark, only it's Mark is dying on the video.
Oh, that was great! Yeah, it took me a second. I'm all Indian. Oh, yeah.
So anyway, Nuke the Fridge claimed that they had an exclusive and that Darth Maul was returning, and that Sam Witwer was to voice him. And they claimed it. They didn't give any source. They didn't even say someone close to the matter said. It's just a completely anonymous source. Kind of like Herman Cain. Oh, wait, was that out loud? This is for you political people, a little in-joke. And so then Comic Book Movie's linking to Nuke the Fridge, who says that they have the exclusive and that it's true, but Nuke the Fridge article was after the Force.net article, which linked to our article. I'm getting dizzy talking about it. So, but it gets better. This is not where it starts. This is not where it stops. The saga continues as the official site, none other than StarWars.com, in their fan featured fan article section, whatever they're calling it now with the new design, they linked to comic book movie saying Darth Maul to return to the Clone Wars with Sam Witwer reversing. Confirmed. And that's what comic book movie says. So it's like, is this an announcement? Because it doesn't. Usually an announcement comes in the form of a big trailer and it's epic and they say, yeah, the one and only Sam Witwer.
Yeah, they'd want to hype it up and get exactly more.
And that's why
watchers,
they don't want it,
yeah,
just coming from Sam in a little old podcast interview that nobody's ever heard of, a.k.a. us. And so that's why you don't want it to be Darth Maul. Now, it wasn't a secret that Sam's returning. But it was a secret if he's voicing Darth Maul, which is still not confirmed, by the way.
Not officially.
Not officially.
Other than linking to other sites.
Yes, at the big link circus, as happens all the time. So, let's see. Sam Witwer, then StarWars.com, then a day or two later, amended their post saying, rumor alert, Sam Witwer to voice
Now, isn't Bonnie Burton the one who runs that?
I don't know. She's definitely big on the site. And she's not the only one. It may not be her, but
that would be kind of a difficult job to run that site by yourself.
Well, let me put it this way. This is a mini rant of mine, and I'd love to get your thoughts on this. Ever since StarWars.com redesigned their site, they've made it much more minimal and kind of changed the outlook. It's a little bit more kid-friendly, a lot less overcrowded information. It's much less of a vault of information, and now it is more of a, it's just like a,
yeah, it's more visual, as Mark
is saying. It was the sea of Star Wars information, which is now the pond that you can have a good swim in. It's the surface. It's the surface there. But part of that is linking to fan sites. And let me pull up StarWars.com real quick. Let's see, StarWars.com. I have to make sure I spell it right. No. No, I know how to spell Star Wars. Stop your emails right now. And if you go to StarWars.com, as I'm doing right now, you can see the kind of minimal, huge slideshow with the most recent news, like the Episode 1 trailer. We're going to talk about that a little bit later in the show here. A link to the latest Clone Wars episode. And randomly a featured character, Lando Calrissian. Hello, what have we here? A card player, gambler, scoundrel. You'd like him. Anyway, I just got distracted by the beautiful face of that is Billy Dee Williams. So yeah, if you go to the Explore tab, and then the Connect tab, they have a little thing called Fan Sites, and then a little section called Around the Web. Now on the Fan Sites, they link to some prominent fan sites, TheForce.net. Wikipedia, the fan site, the 501st Legion, all great sites, the Rebel Legion, RebelScum.com, the Collector's Archive, Jedi News, UK site, From Bricks to Brothens, probably the best Star Wars Lego site out there. I love that site. And, of course, your home, Mark, for the EUcast, EU Cantina, featured right up there at the top. So it's really cool. A lot of these fan sites, it's like an acknowledgement of the effort that these fan sites have done over the years to the Star Wars fan community, and I love that. But
yep, it was nice.
Big beauty.
They feature a bunch of other and smaller links: Club Jade, the Force Cast, the awesome podcast Mandalorian Mercs, the Dented Helmet, R2D2's Club, Leia's Metal Bikini. Randomly, I have no idea why. Yak Face, Port Haven, Star Wars Holiday, a holiday special site. This is new.
Ooh.
The Star Wars Holiday Special.com link there. I don't think George Lucas knows this is here. I think he would take that down.
Is that like a seething hive of scum and villainy where all they're doing
what
is
Star
like
Wars Holiday Special? There's a fan site dedicated to the one, the only holiday special.
Wow, someone's brave. That's wow.
Exactly. Brave. I love it.
With behind the scenes pictures, characters, the cast, crew, text, behind the multimedia, feedback, links. We got a link to this in the show notes.
Yeah, I know.
Wow.
Wow.
Okay. I'm all right. Sorry, I distracted myself. So yes, Around the Web, they feature the latest news from the fan community. The problem with this is, if you're linking to a fan site that's stating that Darth Maul is returning and Sam Witwer is the voice. A big announcement, especially for Sam Witwer fans. Awesome actor, awesome guy. Love him to death.
Yes.
But linking to that story is the official site confirming it. And of course, then they had to do their dance and say and amend it. Let me scroll down and see if it's still there. Just amend it to where it says rumor alert. And then they're still linking to an announcement that states that it's happening, but there's still no confirmation from Lucasfilm. I think it's happening. It may not be, but I'm pretty sure it's happening. But regardless, I just love how these stories circulate around the fan community. I know we're dedicating a big opening part of the show to this, but I just find it fascinating because StarWars.com linked to Comic Book Movie, who linked to Nuke the Fridge, and Nuke the Fridge had no sources. I mean, at least...
Yeah. Well, Nuke the Fridge claimed they had sources.
Well, no, they didn't. They just said... did they say sources?
They said source Nuke the Fridge.
No, yeah, Comic Book Movie. But Nuke the Fridge didn't have any sources.
They said source Nuke the Fridge. They said that the source was them.
Was themselves. Okay. Yeah. I have a big rumor, and my source is me. I know it. I have a feeling. But... I got a feeling that Sam Witwer's voice in Darth Maul. Okay. but yeah, so where was I? I lost my complete... Yes, my rant about Star Wars. But at least our piddly little website, StarWarsReport.com, shameless plug, we had an interview, both audio and text, where he confirms it. And he says...
Do you think you can play that?
...to us. I would love to play it, but I didn't get the timestamp, so...
Timestamp is like 32 minutes in, I think. If you want to pull
so?
It up.
Mm-hmm. All right, I got it. Hold on, everybody.
She's got him on a mission.
Star Wars.
Mark, what do you think of how?
Yes, let me throw it to you, Mark. You've kind of followed this saga as it continues.
And I know we talked about it a little when it first came out. How
by saga? Know, you're talking just Star Wars in general, right? Not the Sam.
No, I'm talking the Sam Witwer story. The way the story plays, I love it because the official website ended up linking to a site that was linking to a site that didn't even have any credible sources. At least for us who are speculating about Maul, which we acknowledge it's speculating, we have interviewed Sam and had a great time doing so. But we had the interview with Sam at Dragon Con where he affirms that he is returning this season. I think that's the most credible source that people have had on this story so far. So I just kind of, as more of an observer of watching our Dragon Con coverage and then seeing this play out as different fan sites picked it up, your thoughts, sir, while I delay and try to find...
I think, you know, StarWars.com, I think they just linked something that looked really good. And then I think, you know, what you saw happen was as they did the research themselves, they realized that it started with a sourceless site. But I think, you know, they probably were able to figure out real quick where it came from.
I think they know. I think they've seen us. Well, I mean, we've by no means gotten any acknowledgement, but I think they know. They know who we are.
They're watching.
They're watching.
All right. But, you know... That is, like you said at the beginning, the nature of the business or the beastness, if you want to.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, it happens a lot of the times because, you know, you go to these events and, you know, a lot of people will interview like the same
person.
Hello,
everyone. This is Riley. And,
sorry. Keep going.
So, you know, like everybody will interview the same person. Or all, you know, you have like 12 people that are reporting to different fan sites all in the same room when a certain announcement's made. And so, you know, technically like 4 or 5 people break the story at the same time kind of thing. And so sometimes you'll have like that kind of jumping of ship happening. But, you know, I don't know. I think what you see here is just a case of it sensationalism of the one, you know, it was confirmed. And so they reposted it to get it to tweet or whatever. And then when they followed it back, it's like, this really ain't confirmed. We need to change that up.
Yeah.
And that's what I think is going down.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
To me, it's interesting though because if you're going to post about a story, then you should have sources, or you should have clearly state that you're speculating. Or I can say something like, wouldn't it be interesting if so and so were to voice Darth Maul and come back? You know, and say, you know, this is just pure speculation on my part, and I'm having fun with it. Kind of like a who would you pick to play in a Star Wars reboot kind of a thing.
I agree.
But when you're sourcing to things, when you're looking up news, when you claim to be an information source and a good one, or even claim, as I have seen a number of times, that you're the best site for thus and such, then yeah. at least try to live up to the name.
Well, and in credit, let's talk about it. The Force.net, I really like to, you know, publicly thank Mike Barrett, great guy, and it was very nice of him to link to us because, I mean, they had someone who had talked to Sam, just, you know, a fan who talked to him, who he had said the same thing to them, but he was nice enough to link to our story as well. And that's one reason why I think that story was way more credible than something like Comic Book Movie. Hey, I'm just trying to wrap my head around what goes on up there at Lucasfilm, because as cool as it is to link to sites, you better be willing to do the dance and do the work of figuring out which fan sites are credible sources and are linking, and which ones are just trying to get sensational headlines. And I think, I mean, the nature of it is you will have to play favorites. And I think what happened, this is just me speculating, but what happened is there at Lucasfilm, whoever's running this fan section said, well, I don't want to link to the Force.net because we already linked to the Force.net a few times, so we're going to link to Comic Book Movie. They're nice. I'm sure they're not. And then we realized that Comic Book Movie was just stating facts instead of realizing that this is a rumor, and it still is a rumor. Bethany and I, we've portrayed it nothing but a rumor. Force.net portrayed it nothing but a rumor. But then the few fan sites that did try to get the sensational headline that was misleading. I use that word very intentionally, but the sensational headline that states something. It's, I guess, the story itself is not that big of a deal. I think Sam will do a great job. If they get Sarah Finowitz to return as Darth Maul's voice, he'll do a great job. If Corey Burton does it, it'll be, you know, name those actors, they're great. It's, and I'm sure Darth Maul, as far as the voice performance, is going to be awesome. But I find it fascinating how the story played out. And I'm going to kind of cheat.
You came out, she's like, I don't want to play it.
Oh, there's you. I'm going to skip through.
You've often turned to the Empire Strikes Back, Yoda?
Well, I did actually speak
to the wrong, wrong episode. All right, I'm gonna leave well enough alone. Okay. I'm just going to mess stuff up. I can't punch all the right buttons live. I'm sorry I didn't have that prepared. But if you want to.
Isn't that Foxworthy or one of those guys? Here's your sign.
Exactly. If you want to, go to, let's see, in our podcast, I'm trying to remember what episode number was it?
I believe it was 14. Or 16.
Interview Spectacular. Yeah, yeah. Episode 14, where we interviewed Ashley Eckstein, Sam Witwer, Sam Huntington, Tom Kane, the voice of Yoda, and of course, my favorite, at least one of the funniest, Tamara Morrison, a.k.a. Jango Fett. The name's Fett. Jango Fett. All really nice people. We interviewed them all at Dragon Con. Go back into our archives and you'll find it, episode 14. I'm sure it's still on the iTunes page, etc. So I'd say I've beaten the story to death enough. But thanks for your patience, guys, because I know this is almost a rehash of what we were talking about last week, but I really felt a lot of parts of the story had evolved to a point where it was definitely worth touching on.
Well, it's a matter of philosophy in podcasting, philosophy and just work ethic, frankly. Podcasting and website running, while it's a hobby and it's fun, it's also work. And, yeah. You know, we have fun with it and we enjoy bringing you guys content. But we also know that if you guys are going to stick around and listen to us, we better at least be somewhat decent. So
yeah, we're the aim here at the Star Wars Report is to provide entertaining, thought-provoking, fun content to listen to, and we just happen to have Star Wars as the base for that because that's our common connecting point. So really, that's what we're doing here, and hopefully you guys found that somewhat interesting in terms of what happened. All right, let me check that. 23 minutes on one news topic. I think that's a record. I'm looking at our counter right now. Oh, man. Let's talk about it. Last week, it wasn't officially up, but now officially on the official, did I mention official Star Wars YouTube? No!
IGN still has it up, actually.
Oh, IGN, okay. I just clicked on
it.
Go
to the second link.
I keep teasing. The Phantom Menace 3D trailer. Is that in the show notes? This link does not work anymore. I guess I should have paid attention to that
yes.
link.
Yes.
This one works. Click on the one that says, this one works, Riley. All right, well, I think that's a 30-second ad, so I think we'll be patient. What we'll do is I'll sync up and hit play at the same time, but you'll hear the audio from my end, Mark, so you can just mute your video and listen to my audio as it comes through Skype. And we can commentate about this new trailer to the Phantom Menace.
All right,
Menace,
I'm on the green. I'm
3D.
3 seconds in and pause. I'm ready to go.
All right, there we go. And let's see if this works. In 3, 2, 1, play. Here it is. The following preview has been approved for appropriate audio.
Jabba the Hutt.
Jabba the Hutt.
Lucasfilm LTD. Can we
I can't hear it. Here it is.
Saga of all time.
Greatest saga of all time.
Is coming to the big screen.
Oh, yeah.
In spectacular 3D. Experience the wonder.
You refer to the prophecy of the one who will bring balance to the Force.
The excitement.
You believe it's this boy?
The Force is unusually strong with him.
The adventure.
At last we will reveal ourselves to the Jedi. At last we will have revenge.
Oh my!
This February, experience Star Wars like never before.
Just hang on!
Wipe them out. All of them.
Star Wars Episode 1, The Phantom Menace, 3D. Only on the big screen, February 10th, 2012.
Woo! Woo, that's going to be so much fun.
Oh, I'm so excited now. Did it work, Mark? I'm just curious. Sort of?
Yeah, it worked. My thing with 3D movies is it's really hard to do any kind of advertising for it because the one thing you're trying to sell, you can't show. So it's like...
Yeah.
For hardcore...
It's cool, but...
For hardcore moviegoers...
I can't wait to see it.
For hardcore moviegoers, you get to see the 3D trailer in 3D in front of a 3D movie. So
yeah, I think it's playing in front of the 3...
That would be exciting.
Yeah. I think it's playing in front of the Three Musketeers. So let's talk about what we saw. No Jar Jar, by the way, just to start it off. Which I found not unexpected at all. There's no Jar Jar on the poster. They're very much focusing on the marketing of the pod race sequence and Darth Maul. Darth Maul is throughout that trailer. They touched on Qui-Gon. You didn't even hear a single line from Obi-Wan, and then briefly touched on.
Well,
Anakin.
You heard no from Obi-Wan. No.
Yeah. wouldn't it be funny if they added like another one? Like, because you know Darth Vader had the two. To where it was that was just the first one.
Funny
at all. And Ewan McGregor was just getting started. So started with that, and then it goes even louder. Okay, I don't know. That would be funny.
But what I'd like to see, a young Ewan go, I'm not sure.
I'm not sure. Oh, a little inside joke. What game was that from? I'm trying to remember.
Star Wars Obi-Wan. I'm not sure.
What year did that come out? Was that the year of The Phantom Menace? Or close to it.
I believe, it was right there, either right after the movie came out or right before.
Yeah.
I want to say it could have came out before because I believe the game takes place before The Phantom Menace. It's like events leading up to.
Okay. Yeah, that's cool.
You know, I am really excited about seeing The Phantom Menace.
Yes, definitely.
I have never seen it in a theater before. And, of course, none of us have seen it in 3D.
Well, sort of. We saw it at Celebration.
Yeah, but that was more the Revenge of the Sith, right?
Yeah, well, we saw Revenge of the Sith almost all the way through, but so did we. Actually, saw the Phantom Menace was one of the few that almost nothing was conflicting with it. No awesome panels or anything, because they were showing it in the evening.
Right, I remember now. Revenge of the Sith had such an impact on me then.
But they got started late because their HD copy that they had at the convention center was something wasn't working about it. So they actually just literally had a fan who happened to have the DVD. As I understand, this is what I understand happened. And then they gave it to him and just kind of popped the DVD on the projector. And sure, it wasn't glorious high definition, but it was still awesome. And so, yeah, this in 3D, we've on previous episode, we've talked a lot about the aspects of 3D and what it might mean for the Phantom Menace. This is sort of like an election. I love to follow politics. That's all I'll say there. That's all I'm going to say. Don't even think about it. But I will go and say, I'll compare it to politics in that watching a movie like The Phantom Menace is like watching your favorite candidate, but he's down in the polls and you know he's never going to come back. And you're pretty sure, but there's that really awesome campaign ad, like there's this really awesome trailer, and he's getting some attention. I'm being extremely am I being obscure enough? Am I fuzzing the lines? And Benny's looking at me. I might be giving too much detail. But anyway, but look at it like that. if people, there are a lot of haters out there, people who say no one's going to see a prequel in 3D, but then there's some excitement going. There's some ground support. It's raising some money. Well, hope not really. So that's about where my analogy will end before I get myself into more trouble. But I could see it being successful. Maybe not $200 million, but I could see $50 million. Hey, that's not bad. That's not bad. I could see it doing really well for a February movie, especially with the marketing engine, which is really beginning.
But you
beginning.
Know what? And I think they're marketing to a whole new generation. Simply.
Yeah.
It's going to work. Star Wars always works.
And I know 16 and 14-year-olds. I know them personally who are thrilled to go see this thing. They've been watching Clone Wars, and they love it, especially this past episode. We'll talk about that in a second. But they love it, and they just can't wait to actually see these films on the big screen.
Mm-hmm. Well, and actually, Riley and I are in the Silver Patrol. Most of you probably know that. Some of you may not. But something...
We fly
we've
stuff.
We've been thinking about taking all of our cadets on a movie night, and about 90% of our squadron are all diehard Star Wars fans.
Yes.
And so I said, well, how about if we all go see The Phantom Menace in 3D? And that just got such a huge reaction out of them, such a great reaction. They're like, yeah, oh yeah, you just made my day, my week. One of them said that I made his next 3 months until a certain video game came out. Anyway, that was kind of odd, but
it was fun. Kids with their video games. Yeah, and I think there's a lot of excitement, and kids getting excited about it means they might just drag their parents out, which I think would be really cool if we see some...
Actually, I'm wondering, there's a girl in our chat right now, Haley.
Mm-hmm.
Hello. You're 14.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever seen a Star Wars movie in theaters?
Now, you know that that's really rude to divulge.
Yeah, well.
But it's the risk of coming to the... We will grill you if you come to our chat room. Never come to the chat.
Yep.
Pull for the chat room. Who's going to see it?
Alrighty.
And we'll wait for the delay as people begin to answer. I should have this chat room up, shouldn't I?
Yeah.
Although I'll hear myself if I pull up the radio page, so I'm...
Okay. Haley answered, and she said...
You don't need the radio page up.
And she said no. So, yeah.
No.
There are a number of people who've never seen Star Wars in theaters. And I mean, we would never have seen Star Wars in theaters at all if we hadn't been to Celebration 5.
No. So, yeah. And I really hope they do those screenings again at Celebration 6 this August coming up.
I'm pretty sure that's a common theme with all the celebrations is having screenings going down, which makes sense. I mean, you know, you're going to Star Wars Celebration. What better way to celebrate it than getting a bunch of diehard fans in a room together watching it on the big screen? Because I live in a little humdick town out in Grants Pass, Oregon, and it's, you know, we had it on the midnight showing, and I was just blown away by how many fans that I did not know were in the community showed up, and they were just having a blast. It was one of the best movie experiences I ever had, and you know, that's what I look forward to with the 3D, and I hope to share with my kids when it comes out. We're gonna go see the first one, and I hope to see them all. If I go to the first one and it doesn't, you know, really sell it to me, I don't know if I'll watch the entire saga in 3D. I may just watch it in 2D and just to see it in the theater, but I'm really, you know, I love real D movies. I'm in the generation of the 3D glasses that were blue and red or green and red, and you would sit there and you're like, had to relax your eyes, and you're like, I don't know if it's working. I don't think it's working. Is this working? Dad, this ain't working. Dad, I hate this. And I went and watched one of those movies in real D, and I kept taking the glasses off going, how in the heck is this doing this? Just completely blown away. You know, people will go off how gimmicky it is, but, you know, George Lucas understands gimmicks. And the one thing he said he's not going to do is things popping out of your face. It's going to be that fall in. And that effect works. I mean, when I watched Avatar in real D, that was the one effect out of all the 3D effects they did that I really loved was the depth of every scene. And knowing that Lucas has his eye on that going into this project, I'm looking forward to it. Because anytime that man has his eyes on a technology going in, it's been pure brilliance. I mean, look how many technologies he made just to get Star Wars out there, just to later get it revised to what he was thinking. I mean, it's just, I can't wait.
Yeah, I think it's going to be enormously successful. And let me just say, the rest of the show is going down the tubes because I just pulled up the event chat. We got quite a few people there, which is awesome, but now I'll be completely distracted as I look at the chat, and just I'll just randomly laugh out loud, and none of the podcast listeners will know what we're doing. But let me just say, before we continue on this topic, it's. I was just looking. We've got people tuning. We've got dozens of people tuning into this show. This is amazing. A lot more people tuning in, more than twice as many as last week. And we got folks from Germany, Malaysia, the United Kingdom, and a bunch from the United States all tuning in. So thank you guys so much for tuning into the Star Wars Report here live on Middle Earth Network Radio. Super, super thrilled to be here. Have you guys got any further comments on the Phantom Menace 3D?
Yeah, except I'm just really looking forward to it.
Yeah, me too. Well, I will be there.
The one last thought I have, and it's just more like a speculation, because George likes to tinker with things. George, if you have tinkered with the films for 3D, I will salute you, because honestly, I would love to see some added lightsaber magic, you know, especially when I'm thinking of A New Hope. Old Obi-Wan, I'm sorry, I want to see him be less lethargic. I want to see him jumping around like Yoda kind of thing. And I think they could pull it off, you know? They just put a man in a robe. They could put anybody in a Darth Vader costume. So, you know, this is the first 3D movie, so if there's some new scenes added, I think everybody in fandom is going to be shook up. They're just like, oh, you know, because what happened to Blu-ray? People flipped about a couple little added scenes in Blu-ray. And George hardly ever puts anything out twice the same. He always tinkers with something. So I would just be thrilled if the lightsaber scenes had a little bit of tinkering.
Yeah, yeah. But I'll be the first to say that in my naivete, I've only been in like this hardcore into the Star Wars fan community for 2 or 3 years. Not that long compared to many people. And in my naivete, when I first heard of the Blu-ray, I said it twice, so somehow I'm pronouncing it right. But in my – I like that. Whatever. But I did honestly think – I doubt he's going to do any changes. He already did the special edition, the DVD edition. Yeah, I couldn't really see any changes. I honestly didn't really think he would. And if he did, I'd probably be pretty supportive, as I am, of most of the changes. What's funny is that I kind of find myself in that same boat where I said, I don't really see it happening. I don't really see him doing it, but that's exactly the way I thought about the Blu-ray, and of course we got the no, and of course the extra rock and
you know
the
what
weird
would have been
cry.
Someone should do that. Probably someone's done this. Someone should do a spoof of the no with a Tarzan yell in it. That would be fun. I'm sorry, I had this
Chewbacca
great mental
moment.
Image.
Yeah. Oh man. All right. Well, we're having a great time. We've still got a bunch of stories to get to. We're not going to get to all these tonight, but that's okay. We'll save them for next week. That's the awesome thing about being weekly, guys, right here on Middle Earth Network Radio. But before we go, let's pay some bills. Yes, we do have bills to pay. And helping us with that is a little toy store known as Toy Hut, with two T's, by the way. Toyhut.com. They are awesome folks. Bob and his crew there, working out of Canada. They are Star Wars collectors, and what they sell, their merchandise, is Star Wars collectibles at great competitive rates, especially some of these rare pieces. So let me just go over to ToyHut.com. We've experimented before where, Mark, I've just said name a figure and then see if they have it. They have it every time. Mark, you've done that before. And what kind of a little tradition we're starting. Is Bethany's pick of the week, where Bethany goes to the Toy Hut website and just finds a toy, whether it be Power of the Force, whether it be the vintage line.
Okay, last time I did vintage, so I'm curious what sort of Clone Wars toys.
Let's take a look at Clone Wars. So let's just do the pick of the week. So Bethany, what do you got for us this week?
I have an
ARC trooper. Let's see if they have
an ARC. Actually, let me know, and I don't know if the toy even exists, if the new Rex with the hybrid armor toy exists. I don't honestly know. I don't think so.
Yeah,
but.
the new Captain Rex figure. Searching results for Rex. Clone Wars Captain Rex. Wow, they have there. I didn't know they made that many versions of Rex.
Dude.
Good grief.
Wolf's another one that there's quite a few versions of him.
Let's take a look at the top link right here for actually, can I do the pick? Can I be selfish, Bethany? Can I do the pick?
Sure.
Okay. Let's make it the Captain Rex Clone Wars Edition, $6.75. Competitive pricing. It's from the Clone Wars wave. Head over to ToyHut.com, search for Captain Rex. It's the Clone Wars 2010 wave. One of my favorite clones. And so as the Christmas time is approaching, Be sure to head over to toyhut.com to do all of your Star Wars action figure needs. Those guys are awesome. They got a toll-free number, super easy checkout. They always take great care of their customers, pack these things with loving care that only collectors have. Some collectors, a little bit too passionate, but we're not going to talk about that story. A little hint. We might like do a link in the show notes, but it's not quite... All right. But yeah, toyhut.com. Once again, that's
toyhut.com. I'm shocked you even went that far.
It's a big secret. Toyhut.com with Toyhut with two T's. Thank you guys so much for supporting us. Not for one, not for two, but for the next 3 months as we go through the toy season. So those guys are amazing. Thank you so much for supporting us. Let me do something real quick. This is
Before you do, okay. I want to mention, you know, and I'm guilty of not doing more online purchases. And then complaining about what I'm about to complain about.
Okay. Here we go.
I went down to the local Super Walmart, went down to the toy section because a whole new wave of toys come out, and not one EU toy. Not one.
Mm.
What was on the shelves but the same frippin' wave that was out the last time with two new little action packs. But none of the little single figures were new. Oh, I was so burnt, man. I've been waiting. Because this store hardly ever re-ups their stuff. And when they do, the stuff goes so fast. And it's like, are you kidding me? So, you know, in that regards, going to places like Toy Hut and being able to find the one toy that you could be hunting around for and hitting and missing. Because like I said, I missed Kruk. I missed Jason and Jaina Solo. I missed a whole buttload of the comic two packs, you know, I had almost all of them, but I didn't get the one with Emperor Roan Fell, you know, things like that. And, you know, if I'd have been making more online purchases, I wouldn't have had that problem. So, you know, it's one of those things you should check it out because there's always these great deals. And that's what blows me away because I got this really cool holo projector one time that I use it with my Halloween costume. And, you know, I got it for like $4 and it was on like a super discount. And it was something that I remember seeing at Walmart for like $20 at the time. So, you know, you just hunt. Always look for the deals. I mean, they're there. Online shopping is a lot of ways, especially as a Star Wars fan, the way to go.
Definitely. Yeah. Yeah. Toy Hut with two T's. Let's go ahead and move right along. But I was just going to say, quick idea. I'm not the first to do this. I've heard many other podcasts do it. But for those of you listening live, and I know you're there, we got like a dozen people in the chat room. We've got a bunch of people listening. Head over to your Twitter account and say @ToyHut, Toy Hut with two T's, @ToyHut. Thanks for supporting the @StarWarsReport. That, and see if we can get a couple at mentions. And for you listening to the podcast, do that. And that way, if you're not a big toy collector, it's still a great way to thank them for supporting us, to have the equipment, have the wherewithal to do this live weekly show for you guys. So thank you guys so much. All right, let's go ahead and move on. Let's talk about some Clone Wars. We got a couple other stories, but guys, I've got to get this off my chest. I mentioned it before. We were on the most recent episode of We Talk Clones. Great Clone Wars podcast, but Mark, have you been watching the Clone Wars recently?
Indeed, I have. Mm-hmm. Which is funny when you mentioned that The Walking Dead does the same thing as the Clone Wars, because I was all devastated, and then they started putting them out like the night of or the night after, and I was like, yes, I don't have to wait all the way till Monday, because I would always forget come Monday. So yeah, I've actually been keeping up. I have been impressed. I've been hearing a lot of and stuff from people, but I've been enjoying what I've been seeing. Some of the episodes were what I call filler episodes, but I like a good filler episode. And the last one, the Umbara, am I saying it right? Umbara episodes?
Yes.
Oh, man, I can't wait for the rest of those. There's, I think, three more.
So much fun.
I think it's four altogether. But that General Krell, oh, man, I was looking forward to him coming. And then when he coming, everybody's like, I don't like Krell. Krell's a jerk. I hate Krell. I'm like, whoa, what does Krell do to everybody? And then I watched the episode.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh, wow. You know, in a lot of ways, I like how he seems like Quinlan Vos, the way the EU kind of portrayed him. You know, he was very gruff with the clones. But they take it to a whole new level, which... You know, I'm really looking forward to the next three episodes because of what they've done so far. I mean, A, they remove Anakin from his command. You're just like, whoa, what's going on? No resolution there. So, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing how that plays out. What really is going on with Krell? Why is he so hardcore like he is?
Yeah.
There's a story there, and I'm looking forward to seeing it play out. But the detailing involved with this guy, the way his dual-bladed lightsabers fold down nunchuck style and clip on. I mean, the way he threatens clones and the way we learn, you know, Clone Commander Rex's CT number, I believe before he used to be a CC. So it's like, did that change? Or did we got a story behind there? Was it just an error? Little things like that that I always find exciting. You know, when it's nothing major, it's always a little puzzle or a story opportunity. There's always great story opportunities in the between the lines pages on these things.
Yeah.
You know, and there was a lot of good things. I mean, it reminded me of Point Rain. Just, I don't know. I'm beginning to, anytime you have a shot with a planet and you've got the Star Destroyers coming in and you got the ships unloading. That was the same thing with me with Star Galactica. Anytime you have that, it's win for me. So you put those in the episodes and I'm just having a kid in a candy store moment.
Yeah, I know. I've the season's, in my opinion, had a little bit of a rocky start just because it didn't start as strong. And this kind of happened in season three as well.
What do you mean by strong?
It didn't start as much with the core driving story element that I think of as the Clone Wars personally. When I think of the Clone Wars, I want to see the battles that take place, the conflicts between the characters that we've come to know and love. So a lot of these one-off little episodes like the R2-D2 and 3PO episodes where it's like a Wizard of Oz type of reference, I think those have their place occasionally because I don't think we can just constantly have battle and war and more clones and more clones. But I do really get to miss Obi-Wan and really get to miss my other favorite characters. So,
I'm going to go with you on this. I miss Obi-Wan, but I'm glad they pulled Anakin out. And I don't know. Obi-Wan intrigues me, especially now that they've given Anakin a Padawan. And it seems like then you get these episodes where there's Obi-Wan, there's Anakin and his Padawan. It's like, come break them up, you know? Let Anakin just disappear for a while so they can have some adventures that they can do. Let's not chronicle the heck out of him. Give him some leeway here. And let's look at Obi-Wan for a little bit. You know, let's address some of that stuff.
Yeah, and I just went over to StarWars.com/Clone Wars, and the site for the animated TV series, which is awesome, that everybody should be watching, just by the way. Say what we want when we have our nitpicks. This TV show is awesome. We're having Star Wars on our small screens every week, and it's amazing. But I went over there. Go over to Star Wars. I'll pop you guys a link in the live event chat over at Middle Earth Network, and let's see if that works. Yeah. Just copy and paste that link, and you'll see right there is a ginormous picture of Obi-Wan fighting Savage Opress.
I haven't seen this yet.
No, I haven't either.
Well, wait for my dinosaur. Wait for the Brontosaurus or whatever. Tyrannosaurus. I don't know. One of them doesn't exist anymore. My computer's slow. Hold on.
This is just completely off the. While you guys look at that, yeah, General Krell, new Jedi general, much more of a general than a Jedi, by the way, and I really like him in concept.
I would even argue that to some degree, general in name, but I've had issues, you might say, with his leadership style. Oh, that is such a cool picture.
Squirrel.
Wow. Right. Okay, you guys have to look at that picture.
What we're seeing here is basically a ginormous picture of Savage Opress towering over Obi-Wan Kenobi. A little bit of a bit of a teaser, I think, for what's coming later in the season. So,
You think? Oh my goodness!
I hope this means that we're going to see Darth Maul and Obi-Wan once again fight.
That would be interesting.
I'm still not convinced that we're going to see Darth Maul as Darth Maul.
In the flesh, I mean?
I'm on the fence because Lucas made models of Darth Bane and Revan for the show and then decided I don't want to do a Sith spirit, and so he pulled back. But the other side of me is like I could see it working with Maul, where somehow they resurrect his spirit and put his spirit, channel his spirit into his brother. I mean, I could just see that happening with all the Sith sorcery that's involved around him so far. And I could totally see that playing out. And in that regards, you know, you're watching Maul and Dooku, or not Dooku, but Maul and Obi-Wan fighting on there. I don't know. I'm just so excited. I can't wait. The picture is sick.
I'm super thrilled as well. And I feel bad for you, Mark. I can tell your voice is straining with your excitement as we continue on. someone was teasing you as sounding like the one and only George Lopez. But hey, George Lopez, he's an enthusiastic guy.
He's Grumpy Smurf.
I think that's a compliment. George Lopez doing a Star Wars podcast would be hilarious, too. Yes, Savage Opress. He's definitely evidently returning, I guess. We can confirm that. And to your point, Mark, in the pictures they've released, in the PR stuff, they have shown a fully animated Darth Maul in pictures. Just so we know it's not a ghost, or at least not like a blue or shimmering red ghost. So we know there's a physical body of Darth Maul. And of course, we've only seen waist up, so we don't know if it's like after he's sliced, whether it's mechanical legs or what. But the fact that they've animated him and we've seen a picture of the animated Maul, I think means that he returns in a physical embodiment of some sort. I don't think he'll be a spirit.
But keep in mind, though, they made physical models for both Bane and Revan to use as spirits.
This is true.
But keep in mind, you could also do a flashback. A flashback to when Maul was alive, and boom, there's your character model for Maul. I mean, there's a lot of ways they could play it. I mean, like I was mentioning on the last episode of EUcast, you know, StarWars.com is the masters of sleight of hand. There's no download. This is exclusive download content to the game. And that wasn't the case. You know, lots of salesmanship, you know, and right now they're selling Darth Maul. Until it comes out, I really don't believe anything, and I don't trust what I see, because they've shown me in the past that you're going to have to unlearn what you've learned. And I think they're going to do it again. They're crafty guys and girls over there. Mm-hmm.
They are. And there is that element to it. Another really cool aspect to this most recent episode of The Clone Wars is the fact of is the in-depth delving into the clones. Mark, you mentioned that they used his Captain Rex's CT number, and so about fives, both clones, and now they're being referred to as numbers, kind of like the Kaminoans in the Karen Travis works. A little bit of parallels.
Well, and Voss. What Voss was doing, too. He didn't like calling them by name
either. Some EU parallels, some of which some people might find that surprising. I think people have gone to the place where they really do think that George Lucas is just not going to take any expanded universe. No books, no comics. They're just going to – they might reference them, or they might use a location, but they're not going to lift stuff. But this thematic element to the Clone Wars, treating these clone warriors as just machines that are coming off an assembly line, I love that idea. And I love General Krell in concept, because the idea of an arrogant Jedi who's lost the sight of what it means to be a Jedi – who no longer treats each being as precious. Like the way he kills the animal, even that is almost ruthless and offhanded. And the way he treats the clones, I love that in concept. Although he came across as a little bit belligerent and almost an imbecile, almost stupid in his military tactics. And I would have preferred seeing a ruthless tactician who understands that it must be – he must lose the clones to take this city, but he's willing to sacrifice them where Anakin wouldn't be. That would have made just as much sense to me as the way he's kind of said, well, we're going to take the most direct route just because it's the most direct route to the capital city. For those of you not watching The Clone Wars, you should be. And I think we might be doing this a little bit more on the Star Wars Report. I don't know. I'm certainly enjoying this, Mark, of kind of talking briefly about each of these episodes as they air.
Well, you know, when you mentioned it, Krell, the one thing I've always wondered, you know, each person is individual. And Karen Travis really went into the details of how every reaction and every instance and things that each person did imprinted them. So they each had their own unique force signature. But at the same time, they're all the same one being. And I've always thought, you know, that's got to be a perversion on the force in some level. And some Jedi, you know, has got to have to take issue with this. And that seems to be what Krell is doing.
Definitely. General Krell.
Why are you ending this show? I'm having too much fun.
We're out of time, guys. We're here on the radio, we've got a Page Turners Club, really awesome book club podcast coming up live right after us.
I guess we can't take their time slot.
No, we can't. I guess we could be mean and just take it. But we'll be back next week. That's okay, guys. Next week, Thursday, 8 p.m., live on Middle Earth Network Radio. We've got some big stuff coming.
Yeah.
Some big stuff. I've kind of saved some of it for the end. Yeah. Oh, Bethany, you're clutching. Yeah, you're excited about something here. What have you got?
Well, we have that little tease that we're going to do. Yeah, pretty excited.
One might call us. I've kind of mentioned it on our social networks, but one might call it a Star Wars Report Network.
Mm-hmm.
Let me. I'll go for. I'll do one step further. We are in talks for having a second podcast join us on StarWarsReport.com. We'll be releasing details in this next week, and we'll have the official announcement and a special guest next week live on the radio to make the official announcement and go live with podcast number two on StarWarsReport.com. I'm super thrilled to have the guys we're talking to on board, and this is just I'm so excited I can't even put it into words. I'm really excited. So,
yeah.
Really awesome guys are working together to put together the content and the audio equipment and all the bells and whistles and dials and switches, everything work together to go. So stay tuned. Come back next Thursday. Thank you guys listening live. We've got some folks in the chat room. Let me go ahead and do some shout outs to Adrene, Commander Zazzo, Eric Stu, Haley Skywalker, Illogical Rogue 2. I know that guy. Mara J97 and Mitch Hannon and Riley. I know him too. Sarlacc Pit and so many more people, and all of you guys who are listening live but not tuning into the chat. Join the excitement in the chat room here at Middle Earth Network Radio. That's going to do it for this episode. If you guys want to join in on the conversation, whether it's about the Clone Wars or about how stupid some of the way the fan sites work in their Link whirlwind, and I maybe he's just the only person who cares about this, but maybe not. Who knows? So I'm so happy for you guys for tuning in. If you want to contact us, like I say, email us, StarWarsReport@gmail.com. Find us on Facebook and Twitter, Star Wars Report, easy enough to remember. You can find our forums over at ucantina.net and click on the forum link. We have a little sub-forum there where we hang out sometimes. Send us a voicemail. And, send us a little MP3 embed. Awesomeness. That's a really great way to have your voice heard on the Star Wars Report. I know I'm forgetting something, Bethany. There's got to be some...
Have our iTunes and Zune.
Yeah, thank you, Beth.
And our actual website.
StarWarsReport.com. Leave us some reviews on iTunes. Thank you, guys. I already see some people doing some shout-outs for our sponsor, Toy Hut, on Twitter, which is awesome.
Yes, thank you.
So you guys tuning into the podcast, join in the fun. I think that's going to do it. Man, good times, guys. We'll be back next week with more Star Wars Report awesomeness and that big announcement. Can't wait for it. And remember... Many Bothans died to bring you this podcast. Thanks for tuning in, guys.